And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
That is I. What's up? What's the good word? How are you? Great to be with you on this Thursday edition of the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, on the FM dial as well at 98.5. And of course, online at hubcityradio.com. Encourage you to download the 605 radio app today or the Hub City radio app. Both of those are very, very, very user-friendly. And you can take us wherever you go on your winter travels. Perhaps you are taking that runway to the world and you're thinking to yourself, I want to go somewhere warmer. All right, well, you can still listen to us via the Hub City radio app or the 605 radio app today. I'm David Tewksbury. Thanks again for lending us your ears on this Thirsty Thursday edition of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Fun show for you here today. Aaron Moeller, the head coach of your Aberdeen Christian squad, will be joining us here, the boys basketball squad, the Knights of Aberdeen Christian High. He'll be joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, coming up in about 10 to 15 minutes on the show. Looking forward to that conversation with Coach, a team that is playing some really, really good basketball right now. And we had him on the program about a month or so ago, and he was saying, you know, we're kind of starting to find our way here a little bit. And that was just before playing Sioux Falls...
Lutheran.
That's right. It was one of like the 19 Sioux Falls schools, and it was Lutheran. That matchup, of course, got nixed because of weather and what have you. But they have certainly found their way, and they've now won their last 12 games. Of course, that is the voice of the Cobra. He is Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Looking forward to that interview today with Coach Moeller. I think the last time we had him on, they were 1-4. And since then, they've won 12 straight games or 11 straight games since he's been on. So I'm looking forward to that interview later on this morning.
So they were 1-4, and then what happened?
He came on the Sports Hub.
Okay.
And then they won.
Okay. So correlation equals causation?
I believe so.
That's what I'm getting at. I think you're onto something there. I think that's the absolute the pinnacle right there. Yeah. Correlation equals causation.
It's not the hat, it's us.
It's us.
It's us.
It's 100% us.
Just a little bit. I mean, the players play, but, I mean, he came on the Sports Hub, they started winning.
I mean, there's something to that. I'm just saying that more often than not, when you come on the Sports Hub, good things happen for you.
Yeah, and it was a great discussion with him last time, and like you said, he kind of felt like things were clicking in the right direction, and he was spot on because they played Loyola Frederick tough, lost that game, but since then have been red hot.
So looking forward to that conversation coming up here with head coach Aaron Moeller of the Aberdeen Christian Knights. And I was actually in my office earlier on this morning cleaning up some things, and I found one of my old kind of spotting boards, if you will, from a high school basketball game. It was an old Aberdeen Christian matchup against Clark Willow Lake. I think this was from, must have been 2017 or 2018 or something like that. I have no idea how that even just popped up, but I looked at it and I was looking at some of the names on this board. I was like, holy cow, yeah, he went on to play college basketball, and Aberdeen Christian, they've just had a really solid 5, 6, 7 years of good, solid basketball indeed, and he's just continued that tradition.
Yeah, they've had some really good players. I covered a couple of their games over the last few years. When I was doing Britton Hecla, they would play them in the first round of the playoffs, and I just remember how good Ethan Russell was at Aberdeen Christian there for his 4 years. You know, it was him and was it Malik Weaker?
Mm-hmm.
Those two guys were just unbelievable at Christian.
And both of those guys are playing at the college level. At least one of them is playing right now. The other one's a red shirt. And I don't think I've seen Malik Weaker's name in the box score a whole heck of a lot this year.
Where's he playing at?
He's up in Jamestown.
Okay.
He's up there with Spencer Barr. And Ethan Russell, he is on the sideline for Northern State. He's redshirting this freshman year. But I've talked with Saul Phillips multiple times. He goes, you got to be excited about this Ethan Russell guy. You're going to see him in the not-too-distant future here. You're going to like him. And I thought to myself, well, I've seen him a couple times at high school. If he's anything like he was in high school, he's going to be a pretty good college player too.
No doubt about it. He uses his size to his advantage. He can pull up from, you know, the free throw line out, which I think is a big advantage. for his game. And like you said, redshirting, getting a little bit of experience, practicing, and then, you know, you're ready to go in the next coming years. You'll have to see. Obviously, there's no spot given. You got to earn it. But looking forward to see how he continues to grow as this years move along.
No question about it. So that's what's on tap for the day here today. We'll take a look at some of the matchups for tonight as Aberdeen-Roncalli, they'll hit the road. They'll take on Duel later on here tonight at 6:30 and 8 o'clock, respectively, over on Pheasant Country 103. That'll be a doubleheader. That's our lone broadcast on our airwaves tonight, but a very, very wide array of things to hit on from the GPAC side of things, as well as some high school action for tonight and going forward. Let's first and foremost, though, get to the jump right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And Cobra, my dear man, you're an intelligent guy, right?
I think so. I hope so.
You're educated.
Yes.
You're a smart fellow, I think. And, you know, I, too, am an educated man. Smart? Eh, that's a relative term. But I will tell you this. I think you and I are probably on the same page in this next context, because I've got an interesting tale as it pertains to something that is becoming more and more and more popular. This is sort of sports-related, sort of not. And I've got a couple other sports-related ones here, too. But this is something that continues to be gaining so much popularity. You have seen these cups, right? These Stanley cups?
Yes.
These little mug deals?
Yes.
And I saw this tweet on social media this morning, and I thought to myself, I just got to bring this to the sports hub today and talk about it with the Cobra. A woman tweeted out yesterday, "What's the male version of those Stanley cups?" And I thought to myself, that's good. That's a good question to ask. And somebody quote tweeted and said, "That souvenir cup that you got at a minor league baseball game 3 years ago that you almost exclusively drink tap water out of."
Yes. That's spot on.
How great is that?
Everybody has that kind of cup. Yes. Yes.
I love that tweet. That's fantastic. Big shout out to Hoops Nation on that one. But can you explain to me what the allure is with these Stanley Cups? It's a cup. It's a mug.
I don't get it. I don't get the Stanley Cup hype. I'm with you on that, man. Everybody has them. Everybody has them. I don't understand it. You put ice in it. Does it keep it cold for 24 hours? I feel like Yetis do that and all mm-hmm. kinds of different ones. I have one from Walmart that I've been using. It was like $15, and that thing keeps my drink cold. I don't get it. Maybe it's the straw.
I don't get it either. I'm going to see how much these things even cost.
I don't know.
I'm going to guess $50. That's a guess.
I'll go 70.
Okay. As of January 2024, the Stanley brand's 40-ounce quencher, these tumblers cost between $45 and $55 for a cup. Oh, what does it do? Well, it keeps my drink cold.
For 24 hours.
Oh, how about that?
You can leave it in the car. You can put ice in it. The ice will still be there. Like I said, I have one for $15 from Walmart, 40 ounces. And guess what? Keeps my drink pretty cold.
Does the exact same thing.
Yes.
And you're saving some coin between $45 and $55. What a status symbol here we are in 2024, the Stanley Cup. I don't get it.
But that is so good. The $3
yes.
souvenir cup you only drink tap water out of. Yes.
100% accurate. Or beers, for that matter, too. All right, couple other things here on the sports-related side of things as well. There was a game last night in the NBA, allegedly. I didn't watch it. It's kind of like the big tree that falls in the forest. If the big tree falls, but no one's around there to hear it, did it really fall? That's kind of the way the NBA is with me. It's
yes.
like, if the NBA is going on and Tukes isn't watching, does it still happen?
Does it happen, yes.
I guess the answer is yes. But anyways, Draymond Green. Is there a more dislikable player in the NBA than Draymond Green?
I can't stand it. He's making news every day because he goes on his podcast. He'll start saying stuff. What happened?
So last night in a game, I don't even know who the Warriors are playing.
Clippers.
Okay, there you go. Warriors and Clippers. Draymond Green's going up for a rebound, and he's flailing his arms and flopping as Draymond Green tends to do, and he lands on the ground. The play continues around him, and I think the Warriors miss a shot. So the Clippers go back on the other end of the floor. Draymond's still laying down in the lane on the other end of the floor. Play is happening, you know, 80 feet.
Is it just him on the other side?
Just him. Just him. He's laying on the ground in the key on the other end of the floor while all of the action is going on the other end of the floor while the Warriors on defense.
So he's flopping.
It's a 5-on-4 deal. Yeah. So the Warriors get a stop. They get the ball back. They go back the other way, and he's still on the ground.
Is he hurt?
He's flopping. He's pretending that he was hurt, and he was just waiting for the referees to blow the whistle to stop play.
They didn't stop play.
And they didn't stop play. And you know what? Good for them. Good for them. If you want to just lay down on the ground, take a little siesta, all right, fine. We're not gonna stand by and just let you just relax for an extra 30 seconds to a minute. What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't understand his motive half the time. Like, I understand you want to be an enforcer, and he's big on what they do on that team. I get that. But he's just constantly making headlines, and the average NBA fan like yourself, Dukes, is sick of this guy. They're sick of him because every game he's doing something like this. He talks trash, which that doesn't really bother me. But, you know, they had a game against the Suns, and he goes on his podcast. That was the first game after he hit Nurkic on the head.
Sure.
And they were going back and forth, and Nurkic got a layup, and he did the too small thing, and he, like, hit the floor. And then Draymond did it back to him when he made a layup. And he goes on his podcast and he starts talking about how Nurkic is a coward. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're the guy who swung and hit him. He can't talk a little trash back in the middle of the game? I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, he's the guy kicking people in the private parts and flopping and flailing.
Just go and play.
Just play the game.
Just play.
At some point in time, just knock it off and just play the game. What are we doing?
They're 25-25, Tukes. It's not like they're the best team in the NBA. They're battling for an NBA. They're battling for a
playoff
play-in
spot.
Game, a playoff spot. So, like, just play the game. Like, why do you got to go on your podcast, or, like, why do you got to go and just start talking about, like, stuff that doesn't even matter? Just talk about, you want to talk about the game, that's fine. But, you know, he's always got to bring something else into it. I can't stand it.
Dude might as well just have a big neon light up sign that just says, hey, everyone, look at me.
Yes.
Number 23 right here. Everyone, please pay attention to me. Love me. Shower me with kisses. Oh, hug me. Love me. Just always take me to bed with you and just think about me at night and wake up in the morning. My first thought is about Draymond Green. Just play the game. Just do it.
Just play.
Just play the game. And you know what? The funny part about all of this is you watch the replay. He didn't even get touched. And he's still
laying there.
It's like that body, you know, like there's when there's a dead body on the ground, there's like the outline of it, like the chalk outline.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like
yeah.
What are we even doing here?
Yeah, get up and play.
Just play the game.
Yeah. He doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He's playing games while the game's going on.
Yes.
Tired of that one. All right, I got one more thing, but we're kind of out of time here. We got to bring in Coach Moeller. We'll bring the other one into tomorrow's edition of The Jump. So a lot of content for you here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Coach Moeller outside there?
He is.
Does he have the hat on?
Yes.
I like it. I love it. Want some more of it. He'll be joining us next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Stay tuned. We're back on this Thursday edition of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at HubCityRadio.com. Happy day after Valentine's Day. It is David Tewksbury, Matt McClure, we call him the Cobra, and head coach Aaron Moeller joining us here live in studio. What do you got there, sir?
It's actually Single Awareness Day.
That's right.
It's sad. Sad day.
You're a single guy.
Yeah, it's sad day.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
How can you be single if you're the Cobra?
Yeah. That's a good point there, coach.
He's got a nickname.
That's a good point.
Ladies, he's on the sports talk show, voice of the Golden Eagles.
Cobra.
I got things happening.
Cobra's ready to strike.
Yeah.
I like that. Hey, speaking of which, as we're joined with head coach Aaron Moeller here live in studio with the Aberdeen Christian Knights, had a nice Valentine's Day with the wife there yesterday, huh? Right?
Yeah, went out for dinner. Also, nothing special. This will be our 30th year being married.
Wow,
so
congratulations.
When you get down the road a while, you know, it's just like, it's another Valentine's Day. As a matter of fact, we've gotten so bad that we only celebrate our anniversary every 5 years now. Which, I mean, I'm good with that, so I don't have to worry about, you know, being on the hook for something. So, yeah, once you get a few years in, it's like, yeah, it's just another Valentine's Day, another anniversary. So Maybe. But yeah, we went out to dinner, and so we had to do that. I think it's just an excuse so she didn't have to cook and I didn't have to do dishes.
Well, maybe you just got a really good wife, because on my wife's side of things, every little thing must be celebrated. Oh, this was our first date anniversary. Right? Oh, this was the first time we got our dog. I'm like, holy cow, how do you
know all these
things?
No, my wife's awesome about that. Matter of fact, it was like, I think it was 2 years into our wedding and our marriage, and she said, and I was getting her flowers, you know, on a regular basis, like, because that's what we're supposed to do, right?
What a guy.
And she was like, you know, I don't really like flowers. I'm like, perfect. No more flowers. So we don't do flowers either. So
I had a girlfriend of mine in college, and this will be our final maybe thing or two before we start talking some basketball here. It was on Valentine's Day. I got her flowers, and she said, I hate flowers. Don't ever get me flowers ever again. I said, okay, fine. And then a couple months later, she goes, you never buy me anything like flowers or something like that. I go, didn't you say you hated flowers? She goes, well, sometimes I like them, sometimes I don't. Long story short, we don't talk anymore. And, you know, she was my ex-girlfriend in college. I think I dodged a bullet there with you. Is that fair to say?
I think so.
Maybe a little bipolar there or something. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, my wife's pretty easy going. She deals with me, so... very supportive. Matter of fact, on a serious note, as a coach, you know, we've spent a lot of time away from home and family, and then in summers I was a travel ball coach for years, and of course you got summer basketball stuff. You start to work in June and July, and she is just extremely supportive. She's like, hey, go do your thing. She has never ever given me any grief. She's extremely supportive. I've always really appreciated that. You know, when I was coaching, you know, like my kids obviously played at one point, and when our kids were involved, that was, hey, yeah, you're coaching your kids, but I'm not even coaching any of my own children anymore. And so for her to have that give me that, I guess, leash to go coach is really fantastic. So I really appreciate that.
Love that.
Yeah. And you guys are having a great season, Coach. I mean,
started off a little tough.
You guys are, yeah. And we had you on, I believe it was right after the Mobridge Pollock game, or maybe it was Woolsey Wessington.
Could have been.
And
it was early on.
And you felt pretty confident with the way things were going, at least offensively. You go beat Faulkton 52-37, and really things have turned around. What have you seen in this turnaround here? Because you guys are playing about as good as anybody in Class B.
Yeah, so, you know, first of all, I think I said back then when we met that I said we'd be a better team in February than we would in December or January. When you're playing two sophomores and two freshmen, and then a starting lineup that's never, you know, started a varsity game before, mm-hmm. there's a learning curve there. So I think that's one piece of it, is we're just kind of growing up a little bit, and we're getting to see that kind of right before our eyes, which is really, really exciting as a coach. I think the other part of it is after that last loss, whether that was Woolsey or Mobridge, I don't know.
Woolsey.
Woolsey Wessington,
we kind of had a team meeting, and basically the guys were like, Coach, this is what I think we're good at. These are the things I think we should focus on. And they were very direct with me. And I took it on board and I said, guys, if that's what you want to do, let's do it. And you guys own it. And they've done that. So we changed things schematically, how we're running our offense. And then we changed what we were doing defensively. And I think it's fit what our team is good at. I think it fits our strengths. The first in those losses, we were averaging 21 three-pointers a game. We're not built to shoot 21 three-pointers. We're built to pound the rock. We got a big team. We're bigger than every team that we've played, you know, across the line. And we weren't taking advantage of our size. So we really shifted what we were doing offensively. We shifted how we were playing defense so we could utilize our size a little bit better, making sure guys were in a position to rebound. And since that time, we've kind of gone on this streak. And it's been really, really fun to watch. And I think what I'm most encouraged by is, again, the guys had the meeting. They said, this is what we want to do. And they've taken ownership of that.
Yeah.
And that says a lot about their maturity.
That's a big deal to have students kind of step up to the plate and, for lack of a better term, knock it out of the park with their own ideas. Have you always been that kind of a coach that's very collaborative, letting your players do something? Or have you always been kind of a my way or the highway kind of guy?
I consider myself to be a very collaborative person, whether mm-hmm. it's with my assistant coaches or with players. You know, I was a naval officer for 25 years, whether it was the guys that worked for me. You know, I had hundreds of guys work for me over the course of that 25 years. And I don't always have the best idea. I have ideas, but a lot of times you just need to hear other ideas. Mm-hmm. And Sometimes I take them on board. Sometimes I let them go in one ear, pick up a lot of speed, and go right out the other ear. But they had good ideas, and they were passionate about the things that they were saying. So I owed it to them to listen to what they were saying, and they were right. And this winning streak is a lot of what they told me. I mean, the offense is still mine. It's just we've changed a little bit and as far as how we're doing it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're playing.
We've tailored it. We've narrowed it down.
Sounds like you're playing more inside out than outside in.
Absolutely. And, you know, the funny thing is since we've done that, we're still averaging about 11 threes a game. So we're still shooting the three ball, but our percentage has gone up dramatically. And it's because of the inside out. Our shooters are more open now. And anytime also, just as a basketball guy, if you're catching the ball in your pocket from the inside out, it's here, as opposed to, okay, I'm catching it from over here, you know, from the point guard to the wing. It's not a natural feel. So how we're catching the ball and going into our shot is more in rhythm, so you just shoot a higher percentage.
I'm kind of curious about that because every coach that I talk to, they always say, we want to play inside out. I can probably count on no hands and no feet.
Right.
Coaches that are like, we want to play outside in.
Right.
You said it just feels more natural. It's more of a aesthetically pleasing way to watch the game. Is that kind of fair to say?
I think so. I mean, the fans, it's been great. We have great fan support, of course, and people have been really supportive. I've gotten a lot of feedback. Sometimes, you know, you don't like all the feedback. But one thing I will say that has been kind of common theme is, number one is people are like saying, that is great defense. We love the way you guys play defense. Mm-hmm. That's probably been the biggest feedback I've heard from fans. And then offensively, fans have noticed the change, and they're like, you are using your size. And, of course, then you get the, hey, why weren't you doing that all along? You know, and we should have been. You know, you'd like to go back and replay some of those games. But I like where we're going. I like how we're trending. We got a lot of work to do yet. The season is far from over. And, you know, when you get in the playoffs, it's anybody's game at that point. And teams play different during the postseason. That's just a reality. So I think we've set ourselves up well for the postseason. You know, we're in the number two seed in our region. So we're kind of right where we want to be. But we have a lot of work to do. And there's some good teams in our region that if you don't show up on a certain night, they will beat you. But, yeah, I like where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in your last game against Lankford, or no, it was Hitchcock-Tulare, you had a school record broken. 48
right.
points were scored in that game. And could you just talk about that performance? Joey Johnson, right, scored 48 points.
Yes, he did. And what I want to make sure everybody understands is we didn't go into that game to try to break the record.
Right.
Hitchcock-Tulare is a really good team, and I didn't think we'd break the record in a game like that because they're big. I felt like for us to play well in that game, we'd get some inside stuff, but then we would need some outside shooting because they got a guy who's going to play offensive line for Northern, who's a really big kid. They got a guy who's going to play linebacker out at Black Hills State. I mean, they got some big athletes. So I didn't think it would happen in that game. I just felt like size-wise, they were going to match up well with Joey. But he was just on fire. That first, I think he had 31 in the first half. So at halftime, we kind of knew like, hey, this is within reach. And it was still a 20-point game, so it wasn't like I could just like sit the starters the rest of the game. So at that point, the boys were like, let's go get this. And the whole team was behind it. Like, let's try to get him some touches. And the other thing is a lot of people don't know. It's not like he shot 100 shots to do this. He shot 78% from the field in that game. I mean, that's a crazy number, right? 50% from three. He was 3 for 6 from three. So he just had a great game. It was just one of those games where the basket was really big and everything went in for him. So really excited for him. As a side note, a lot of people don't know. There was another record broken in that game that night is the assist record.
Mm.
So Becker Bosma broke the single game assist record, which had been 11, and he had 12. And so, I mean, it's just not as glamorous as the scoring, right? But that's another great record to have. And part of the reason, obviously, he got that record is because you got Joey doing his thing on the inside. You pass it to him, and he scores, and so you get a lot of assists too. Because we had quite a few other guys that had 5 assists or more as well in that game. So
very well balanced attack for sure. Aaron Moeller joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5. What is going on with the South Dakota athlete? Because I don't know if you've been noticing some of the numbers have been put up. So Addison Heinge put up 50 last Thursday for Wilmot. And then Friday night, Lane Cotton goes off for 52. Joey has 48. And then earlier this week,
Mitchell Christian.
A kiddo from Mitchell Christian went off for 50.
Right.
What's going on with the high school athletes?
You know, it's you know, it's funny. It's not necessarily surprising it's happening now because we're getting towards the end of the year and people are kind of in there in a basketball rhythm, so mm-hmm. to speak. I will say the thing with Lane Cotton, because I know the kid well, not surprised there. I mean, at any given night, he can go for 50.
Yeah.
I mean, you really have to be keying on him. And, you know, when I watched a lot of film of him, and especially as we prepared for him, and, of course, we had a different approach. Like, we doubled him. Every time he touched the ball, we doubled him because we're like, we can't let this guy beat us because he will beat you single-handedly. Mm-hmm. He can put up enough points. He will beat you by himself. And we held him to 9 points. And that's part of the reason we beat Faulkner was we limited him. Mm-hmm. But he's a guy who every single night, if you're not careful, is going to put up 30, 40, 50. And Joey's kind of found his rhythm a little bit too. And part of it is obviously how we've changed things schematically. We're trying to get the ball to him. We're trying to get the ball inside, but not just to him, to Connor Furman, to Brooks Jett, our freshman, to Becker Bosma. I mean, we have a lot of guys that are big guys that we try to work the ball inside to, but Joey's our biggest guy. He's our senior. He's our leader. And granted, he's only 6'4", but you talk about a guy who's just a physical beast. Like, he is just extremely difficult to guard because he's so strong. He's a very powerful individual. We're going to miss him next year. I mean, it's going to be quite the adjustment to, you know, when he's off the team. We lean on him pretty heavily.
He doesn't have that extra COVID year availability.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, he's young enough. Maybe we could get him reclassified or something.
There you go. Yeah, and Coach, you beat Lankford there last time out, and you talked about it. I was reading the game story, and you said you were really impressed with your defense in that game because you got length, and you said that you're bigger. And a team like Lankford, who has struggled this year, but they really struggled to work the ball inside. Right. Can you just talk about how you use your length as an advantage, especially on the defensive end, to kind of mess up those passing lanes and get quick buckets the other way?
Yeah, you know, after every game that we've played since we've gone on this streak, every single coach has come up to me and said, Aaron, like, your guys' defense is really salty. Like, you guys have a great defense. And it's always the follow-up is always, you have incredible length mm-hmm. and athleticism. So when you combine length with athleticism, and then we're kind of running this hybrid defense that the boys have really bought into, it's extremely, extremely difficult to find passing lanes. They're doing a great job in it. You know, the teams that give us fits are the teams that shoot the ball extremely well, like Ipswich. Mm-hmm. They had Konzer and Hines, shot the ball extremely well against us, a very high percentage. But I think to beat the defense that we play, you got to be extremely effective from three-point land. And so it's kind of it could bite us at some point, but I would rather give up that corner three or the long three on the wing as opposed to, you know, something on the interior. So we're kind of playing probabilities a little bit of statistics there. But, yeah, that's been the feedback as coach. With your length and athleticism, it's just hard to find passing lanes. And so it's not just Lankford. We've heard that kind of time and again from opposing coaches. Really complimentary to the boys about how they're playing defense. But, yeah, it doesn't happen if we don't have that kind of length.
We got to take a break. Do you have more time for another segment?
Sure.
Sweet. More with head coach Aaron Moeller after this on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We're back on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. Matt McClure, David Tewksbury, Aaron Moeller, the head coach of the Aberdeen Christian Knights boys basketball squad, kind enough to join us for another segment. And off the air, we're talking about the hat. And, you know, kind of the impetus of getting you into the studio was to talk about this story of the hat.
Right.
I dialed in on our website, hubcityradio.com. I think you guys are playing... It wasn't the Ron Colley game, but you were at home, and I sent Matt a photo of you on the sideline wearing the hat, and I said, that's so different. You don't typically see a basketball coach wearing right. the hat. So give us the hat story. We got to know.
So first of all, you know, I do wear a hat most of the time. Even my mom, it gives me grief because I wear a hat at church.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I saw Pastor Joe Howard. He's the pastor of Arise Church. Shout out to him. Awesome dude. Young guy, but our church is kind of – more modern, if you will.
A little lax.
So yeah, a little bit more lax. So okay. I'm not the only one that wears a hat. There's a few guys. But anyway, so I wear a hat a lot anyway.
Sure.
And so a few years ago, as you know, you start to get older and you lose a little hair, you start to wear hats more. And so I wear a hat a lot. And anyway, so I was like, I'm going to wear it when I coach too. And so I have a few hats that I was kind of rotating as I was coaching. But as we started this win streak 12 games ago, this happened to be the one I had on at the time. So I told all my assistants, I'm like, I'm not changing it. Like, I have a maroon hat.
Yep.
You know, which works for us. But that's not coming out of the closet until we need it. You know, so we'll keep this gray one on. Hopefully, it keeps working for us. I'm not really superstitious, but the funny thing is all of us coaches, we were matching attire as well, and so the specific sweatshirt we had on that night, we haven't changed it. We're wearing the same attire as well, khakis and this kind of like quarter zip, and we're going to stick with that until we lose.
I know you guys don't need our stamp of approval for this sort of escapade in this odyssey, but we are all in. We love it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, we've been talking about it since last Thursday, and we see you guys keep on winning. We're like, keep the hat on, that's coach. Funny. Keep the hat on.
Apparently, you guys have a reach with your audience because there's been other people who have jumped on board too and have made comments. Oh yeah, about like, hey, we've heard about you and the hat, and so it's kind of become a
I'm
thing.
I'm telling
now.
You, this show's growing.
Is growing.
Love it.
Yeah, and coach, I saw back to the basketball here. You got a big game versus Potter County, yes. And I saw you on the quote after the game when I was reading the game story. You said Potter County does a really good job of this. I think it's a 2-2-1 press.
Yep. Yeah, they run and a 2-2-1 press. It's salty.
Yeah, and you said we got to be prepared for that. Can you just get into that?
Yeah, so obviously we're starting to prepare for that. We started last night, and we'll work on that again today. But really, I told the guys, is like, throw the X's and O's out of this game. I was like, it's going to come down to one thing, turnovers. Like, if we don't make good decisions and we turn the ball over, we will lose. If we're good decision makers and like we find the right people in the press, we'll win the game. It's going to be one thing. Like, how do we take care of the ball? If we value the ball, we'll win the game. If we don't, if we turn it over 20 times, Potter County will beat us. They got the guys to beat us. They got a couple of really good players, but their press is everything. They run it all the time. They never take it off. You know, it's rain or shine. If whether they're winning, losing, it doesn't matter. They run it. Made basket, missed basket. So it's on all the time. So you have to have your head on a swivel on outlet passes and then just be prepared the entire game. You know, the pressure is going to be there. And that's where they beat teams. They beat teams with it because they run it so well. They've been doing it for years. Their coach does a great job with it. The boys are well coached. And so, yeah, it's one stat to me. The one stat line is going to be the turnover stat line. That's going to be the difference in the game, whether we win or lose.
Speaking of pressure, you guys have won 12 straight games. Has there been any pressure on the team to keep this thing up? I mean, I feel like a lot of times when you're on this such a hot streak, you know, sometimes you stub your toe. That can almost be a good thing. I mean, obviously, right. You want to keep winning games. Don't get me wrong. But right. Is there pressure on a team that's this hot?
The boys are playing really loose. They seem very, like, laid back about it. We just kind of try to take it one game at a time. I mean, to be honest, I'm starting to feel a little pressure.
Sure.
But the boys seem really loose, surprisingly loose. And I think it's because we were never really expected to do anything this season. There was a lot of like, oh, those seniors are all gone. And of course, that class was just so dominant. And then here we are in kind of five new guys. So I don't think there's a lot of expectations. Mm-hmm. But I think the boys are starting to – I don't think it's pressure. I think it's confidence. They're playing confident. Like, they're starting to believe that they belong in the conversation with some of the better teams. And that's been pretty cool. Like, you can see their confidence growing every single game. You can see it the way they're shooting the ball, their mannerisms. So that's been really neat to see the evolution of how they approach the game. For a young group, you know, you think about like Luke Kaiser and Brooks Jett. They were playing junior high basketball a year ago.
Wow.
Not JV, junior high.
Yeah.
Because we don't allow our junior high kids to play JV unless you need the numbers, and we don't. And so they're playing junior high basketball, and here they are as two contributors on our varsity. Becker Bosma, same way, our second leading scorer. He's a sophomore.
Yeah, had that big game against Ipswich, right?
Yeah, he's had multiple 20-point games, actually. Never played any varsity last year, strictly a JV guy for me. I was coaching JV. And so these guys are starting to believe, hey, like, I'm okay here. I'm young, but this is where I belong. I am a varsity player. And they looked the part. If you go stature-wise, they definitely looked the part. Mm-hmm. But now it's like they're starting to believe mentally that they belong there. And that's been really exciting.
That's big time.
Yeah, it just sounds like almost that, you know, you had a young team and they didn't have much varsity experience. They were kind of learning some things in the first five games. And then obviously some wins string together, confidence goes up. And something else I like about your team, Coach, is you win in different ways. I mean, you beat Aberdeen-Roncalli 47-40.
Right.
And Tukes mentioned on the air, he's like, first to 40 might win that game because
– Yeah, we had Coach Gallagher on that day.
Yeah, he said, first to 40 might win that game. And then you beat a team like Ipswich. You score almost 70 points.
Right.
So, I mean, you win in so many different ways. Can you just speak on that?
Well, we'd like to win with our defense. One of our team goals is you don't give up more than 10 points a quarter. So that's obviously 40 for the game. Ipswich just shot the freaking lights out of the basket. My goodness. Konzer and Hines were just – lighten it up. So we had to score.
Sure.
The good news there was they don't have a lot of size, so we were able to score as well. So it was kind of like a chase there to 80 almost, because they were lighting it up with their guards, but they just didn't really have an answer for our size. But man, they play well. They kind of schemed it. Stu does a great job over there. He's a good coach, and he was probably more prepared for our defense than some coaches are. But still, at the end of the day, I think our size starts to play a part. You know, talk about games coming up. If I could backtrack a little bit, so
sure thing.
You know, you talk about pressure. So, you know, we're in kind of this stretch right now that's pretty big for us. We got Potter County tomorrow. And then we have Little Wound, who is Class A, and actually are playing really well. And if they've had some kids out for I'm not sure what reasons, but they kind of got everybody back and playing, and so they're looking pretty darn good. So these next two games in particular are really important to us. The Groton game, I think, to be completely honest, we're going to have to play the game of our minds to beat Groton.
Sure.
They're just a really good Class A team. They're loaded with some really good seniors. And, you know, Teets is over there and Zach. And then they got guys like Ryder Johnson and Stewart. They just got some great kids. And so we'll have our hands full at Groton, and we know that. And so we'll see how it goes, right? But these next two games in particular are pretty big for us.
Well, don't change anything. Don't change the hat. Don't change the garb. It all works. You said you're not a superstitious guy, but it's worked out.
Right.
It has worked out. Is there anything else you'd like to hit on before we let you go? We'll kind of give you the last word here, Coach.
No, I just appreciate you guys having me. It's always a fun time to get in here and talk with you guys. And I appreciate your support of Aberdeen Christian and the community, too. It's just I love how we as an Aberdeen team rally around Aberdeen Christian. Not just Aberdeen Christian, but Aberdeen Central and Roncalli. Mm-hmm. What a great community, and we appreciate you guys doing that.
For sure. It's our pleasure. Looking forward to the matchup against Potter County, like you mentioned there, tomorrow. 19th against Little Wound, like you mentioned there, before wrapping up against Groton. And then region time.
Yep,
how exciting season is that?
Yeah, so... Yeah, it's going to be upon us before I know it. We're the two seeds, so that first round we'll get the seven seed. So, again, we got to be ready to play, but I like that. I like where we have set ourselves up. I mean, we're in a good position for the postseason, but you still got to come out and play. Postseason's different. Teams show up.
Yeah, and it's also a situation where some of the nerves kind of rise a little bit.
Yeah,
a little nervous.
Absolutely. I think that's probably the unknown, right? And especially the unknown with my team. They haven't done it before.
Yep.
So how are they going to feel in the postseason? It's going to be interesting to watch that.
Well, can't wait to see it. Wishing you nothing but the best of luck going forward.
Thanks,
and
guys.
We'll talk to you later on down the road, I'm sure.
Sweet.
All right. Appreciate it.
Head Coach Aaron Muller joining us here live on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll take a look at some Jeep action from last night and some high school athletics for today and into the weekend coming up. Back on the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 on the FM dial. As we're rocking our way on this Thursday edition of the Sports Hub, our thanks to head coach Aaron Muller for taking some time out of his busy schedule and joining us for a couple of segments here. Always a fun time with Coach M.
Yeah, not one, but two segments.
Good stuff.
Yeah, they're having a great season and always like getting his basketball insight. You know, you could just tell the way he talks. He's a basketball guy. And how about what he talked about there, Tukes, in that first segment? It was a collaborative effort. They had that team meeting, and after that, they've been rolling. 12 straight wins. It's really incredible.
You know, it's interesting because Paula Kruger has been the exact same way on the women's side of things for Northern. She says, you know, this year I've been so much more collaborative than I have been in years past, and maybe I'm making too much of this, maybe not, but feels like it's just sort of a new era of player-coach relationships where it's like, hey, if you've got that coach that's so set in his or her ways, this is what we're doing. You can't square peg round hole stuff anymore. You just can't do it.
No.
And you need to have some sort of that, a push and pull, a give and take with your players and your staff and your coaching staff and everything. So it just feels like the more you kind of trend that way, good things more often than not probably happen for you, I would think.
Yeah, I think also, too, you know, that helps with the relationship between player and coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's sometimes it's if it's the coach's way or the highway, you get guys that really aren't into that.
Yeah.
So I think, like you're seeing with Aberdeen Christian, like you're seeing at NSU with the women's team, like, you know, that relationship's really good between the coach and the player. You agree with that?
100%, because if you have the trust between a player and a coach, that player is going to run through a wall for you. If you have a player that is doing something that maybe he or she doesn't feel comfortable with, they don't really trust that coach, they're going to be a little reticent to do that. So I think that relationship piece between a player's coach and the player is so crucial and paramount going forward, you know?
Yeah, and a young team like this, too, I was thinking about it. Like, their confidence is going to be just continue to get better. Now, he mentioned it, playoffs, a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
They've never been there with this group. I mean, obviously, you had great teams in the past, but outside of Joey Johnson, this is a brand-new squad.
Mm-hmm.
But if they would get some success in the playoffs, then you really got something happening here in the years to come.
I think it'd be kind of interesting because a lot of times when you get some of these teams that are so wet behind the ears, they don't know to be nervous.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just like, yeah, we're really young, but we're just going out and having fun with our buddies. And it seems to me like the culture that has been promulgated with Aberdeen Christian, this is like, I don't want to say it's the new basketball factory, but it was a handful of years ago. It's, well, how are we going to replace Andrew Rohrbach? Okay, well, Malik Weaker turned out to be pretty good. Okay, well, how do we replace Malik Weaker and Ethan Russell? Okay, well, Joey Johnson's pretty good. So at some point, Joey's going to go and somebody else is going to have to come in, and sounds like they already got some guys ready to step into his shoes. So it's just kind of like we're not reloading, we're just retooling every year.
Plus, I think they're a pretty intimidating team from other teams' perspective because they're so big.
Mm-hmm.
I think you go into a game, you're like, hey, how are we going to get the ball inside against these guys? We're going to have to play a perfect game. I think that really, you know, they're a tough team to scheme against because they're so big and they're so athletic and they run. I think that has something to do with it as well.
Yeah, length and athleticism, certainly a big deal, particularly on the State B, or just Class B boys basketball side of things. Some Jeep action from last night on the women's side. Hastings, they would defeat Mount Marty 87-70, your final score there. Lexi Kraft had a game-high 23 points there for Hastings in the victory. Also, kind of regionally here, Jamestown, they would fall to Dort 73-55 as Dort is now 19-0 in the GPAC. They hoisted their crown once again, and that's pretty tough to do to go this far into the season undefeated in conference play.
Yeah, that's really special, and they came away with a big 18-point win, Tukes, and actually when I was in T, Mara Grant from the Titans, she's going to be on that Dort squad as well. Or no, yes, I believe so. It was either Dort or Doan.
Yeah, I always used to get those two mixed up a little bit too when I first kind of moved, started covering some GPAC schools. But yeah, Dort, they have had a great, great stretch of games. They were a national runner-up, I believe, 2 years ago now. So a great season for them as they continue to roll on there.
20-0, wow.
Yeah, really, really impressive. Morningside, they would down Dakota Wesleyan last night, 72-61. Alexis Spear had 17 points in the victory. On the guys' side of things, Hastings would drop in 32 from Reggie Thomas. Hastings would defeat Mount Marty last night, 88-62. Jake Jensen had 16 points. And our guy, he would also drop in 10 points there as well. Big shout out to Cole Bowen. He's our guy.
He is our guy.
He's our guy.
Hey, he's chipped in the 10 points. The team needed it.
Yeah, didn't.
Also, how about the name Reggie Thomas? That's a basketball name, isn't it?
100%. And he had himself a night for sure. Tyreek McMurrin also had 18 there as well for the Broncos in the victory. Briarcliff, they got past Northwestern 74-73. Blake Sindelar had 19 in the victory there for Briarcliff. Needed all of those to get past the Northwestern squad by just one. Dort, they fall at home to Jamestown. Man, this Jamestown team, they have had a very interesting year for sure. And I know they're not necessarily having the season that they'd like from a wins and losses perspective. They're kind of right around 500. But they are so, so difficult to kind of pinpoint and kind of pin down because they can go on the road and beat some of the best teams in the conference. Then sometimes they kind of stub their toe at home or something like that. But either way, they have had a very, very resilient season for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a good word to use, resilient for sure. It's been certainly a roller coaster ride for Jamestown. But, you know, to be 500 in that league with – you know, the teams that they got at the top, that's pretty good. And like I've said this before on this show, but I think anybody can be beat on any given night in the GPAC. I just think there's so many good talent and talented scorers that if somebody goes off, they can be had.
No question. And finally, Morningside went down Dakota Wesleyan 84-79. Joey Scoff had 24 there for the Morningside squad in the victory. Randy Rosenquist with 18 in the loss. The NSIC championship started up yesterday in the pool. It's day one of four down south in Sioux Falls, and NSU, they concluded day one of the championships with Lily Grebner claiming the NSIC championship in the 200 individual medley, that is, while also notching a NCAA B cut time. The Wolves finished the day in ninth place out of 77 points, and kind of sticking with the Aberdeen Christian motif, Grebner, a graduate from Aberdeen Christian, if memory serves correctly, so good start for her.
Yeah, good start, and good start to the NSIC championship there for the swim team.
That continues today, tomorrow, and on Saturday as well. High school basketball for tonight. Aberdeen Roncalli, they'll hit the road. They'll take on Duel. That will be at 6:30 and 8 o'clock, respectively, over on Pheasant Country 103, and an abundance of regional action. I've always wanted to say that. Lots of regional action. There you go. That's it for us. And we're back at it tomorrow on a Friday edition of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports, Aberdeen.